The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on December 14, 1990 in Sridhar, Mayapur. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 7, Verse 27.
Krishna as being the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, how was it possible for him to kill a giant demon like Putana when he was just on the lap of his mother, to overturn a cart with his leg when he was only 3 months old, to uproot a pair of Arjuna trees so high that they touched the sky when he was only crawling? All these activities are not possible for anyone other than the Lord Himself. Purport by Om Vishnupad Srila Prabhupada. One cannot manufacture a God by one's mental speculation or by numerical votes, as has become a practice for the less intelligent class of men. God is God eternally, and an ordinary living entity is eternally apart and parcel of God. God is one, without a second, and the ordinary living entities are many, without number. Jai Radha Madhava Ki Jai. All such living entities are maintained by God Himself, and that is the verdict of the Vedic literatures. When Krishna was on the lap of His mother, the demon Putana appeared before His mother and prayed to nurture the child in her lap. Mother Yasoda agreed, and the child was transferred onto the lap of Putana, who was in the garb of a respectable lady. Putana wanted to kill the child by smearing poison on the nipple of her breast. But when everything was complete, the Lord sucked her breast along with her very life air, and the demon's gigantic body, said to be as long as 6 miles, fell down. But Lord Krishna did not need to expand himself to the length of the she-demon Putana. Although he was quite competent to extend himself more than 6 miles long, in his Vamana incarnation he posed himself as a dwarf Brahmana. But when he took possession of his land promised by Bali Maharaj, he expanded his footstep to the top end of the universe, extending over thousands and millions of miles. So it was not very difficult for Krishna to perform a miracle by extending his bodily feature. But he had no desire to do it because of his deep filial love for his mother, Yasoda. If Yasoda would have seen Krishna in her lap, extending 6 miles to cope with the she-demon Putana, then the natural filial love of Yasoda would have been hurt, because in that way Yasoda would come to know that her so-called son Krishna was God Himself. And with the knowledge of the Godhead of Krishna, Yasoda Mai would have lost the temper of her love for Krishna as a natural mother. But as far as Lord Krishna is concerned, He is God always, either as a child in the lap of his mother or as the coverer of the universe, Vamana Deva. He does not require to become God by undergoing severe penances, although some men think of becoming God in that way. By undergoing severe austerities and penances, one cannot become one or equal with God, but one can attain most of the godly qualities. A living being can attain godly qualities to a large extent, but he cannot become God. Whereas Krishna, without undergoing... Sakatasur, who remained hidden behind the cart in the house of Yasodharmani, and when he was crawling and was disturbing his mother from doing household affairs, the mother tied him with a grinding pestle, but the naughty child dragged the pestle up to a pair of very high Arjuna trees in the yard of Yasodharmani, and when the pestle was stuck in between the pair of trees, they fell down with a horrible sound. When Yasodharmani came to see the happenings, she thought that her child was saved from the falling trees by the mercy of the Lord, without knowing that the Lord himself, crawling in her yard, had wrecked the havoc. So that is the way of reciprocation of love affairs between the Lord and his devotees. Yasodharmani wanted to have the Lord as her child, and the Lord played exactly like a child in her lap, but at the same time played the part of the Almighty Lord whenever it was so required. The beauty of such pastimes was that the Lord fulfilled everyone's desires. In the case of felling the gigantic Arjuna tree, the Lord's mission was to deliver the two sons of Kuvera, who were condemned to become trees by the curse of Narada, as well as to play like a crawling child in the yard of Yasoda, who took transcendental pleasure in seeing such activities of the Lord in the very yard of her home. The Lord in any condition is Lord of the universe, and he can act as such in any form, gigantic or small, as he likes. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text 27, in the matter of scheduled incarnations with specific functions, given this day in the 504th year of our Lord Gauranga, the 14th of December, 1990, Sri Mayapur Chandodaya Mandir. Translation. There is no doubt about Lord Krishna's being the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, how is it possible for him to kill a giant demon like Bhutana when he was just on the lap of his mother, to overturn a cart with his leg when he was only 3 months old, to uproot a pair of Arjuna trees so high that they touched the sky when he was only crawling? All these activities are not possible for anyone other than the Lord himself. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This point is very, very important. People don't understand who Lord Krishna is. I met one smarter Brahmana in South India who would every day chant the Sahasranams of Vishnu. He knew many suktas, but he admitted that in his puja room he put all the pictures, because he didn't know who was the Supreme. He didn't know if it was Krishna or Shiva or Brahma or Durga or who it was. So not to miss out on anybody, he put everybody's picture to be foolproof. But when he, somehow or another, he became a life member of ISKCON, and he got the full set of books. But he also admitted that for 3 years he never opened the books. One day, something by the will of Providence happened. He picked out one of the books and started to read it. No sooner did he read the Srimad Bhagavatam, within a few minutes, he realized that Lord Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he's been practicing Hindu Dharma his whole life, no one ever told him. He said it, in all my years of being a Brahmana, a Pandit, a Sanskrit scholar, this one fact, no one ever told me, that Krishna was God. They said, they're all one. Doesn't matter who you worship, they're all equal. This is what he always heard. But he wasn't fully sure. Anyway, he kept everybody. If they're all one, any one was good enough. But they're not sure so, because they keep all. But after reading Prabhupada's books, he was clear. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he came to the temple, and instead of just his formal life membership relationship,
he started to chant every day, japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And he boldly will tell people that by chanting Hare Krishna and reading Srila Prabhupada's books, this has had a dynamic change in my life, has created dynamic, revolutionary change in my life. So this verse which clearly states, there's no doubt about Lord Krishna's being the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, how would it be possible for him to do? Then it gives so many examples. Unfortunately, when our modern people hear the pastimes of Mahabharata or the Srimad Bhagavatam, they consider, how is it possible for anyone to do these things? So it must be legends, mythologies. Nobody can do these things. It must be fiction. But everything the Lord does is extraordinary because He is the Supreme Lord. There's no limitation. For us, we have a limit. And now with modern science, we've been able to define our limits very clearly. But Lord Krishna is there to amaze everyone because He is aparimito. He doesn't have any limit. Ananta. Without anta. Without end. So this is a wonderful thing. But just to do what Vamana Dev did and expand himself from a dwarf to cover the whole universe, that was also very interesting, very nice. But see how Lord Krishna's double role makes the things even more complex. He simultaneously has to kill the demons while keeping himself covered like he's an ordinary child. We have a perverted reflection in Western culture with the Superman, who's trying to play the meek and mild Clark Kent, the newspaper reporter. And whenever there's an emergency, he goes in the behind the corner and comes out Superman with a big S. Then he hides himself again. It's like a kind of perverted reflection. Here Krishna doesn't even hide himself. He just does it in such a way as people think it was an accident. No one was there. It's the same Krishna. Not fiction. In fact, appearing always to his parents like the little meek, mild child, totally dependent on their love and affection. And while to the demons he's death personified, wiping them out one after another. Kamsa is sending droves of demons, one after another, to kill Krishna. And while he's playing, as a child, he finishes off each one in such a way, so easily, that it appears like it happened accidentally. Nobody can figure it out, what happened. Some demons calling up to kill him behind the cart. Everybody's kind of looking the other way. He just gives this kick to the cart, knocks it over and smashes down on the demon. Actually, that demon came as a cart, I believe. Either way, then everyone looked, oh, what happened? This cart broke. Our baby was saved. Jai Radhamadav. So, this made the pastime doubly interesting. That Krishna is maintaining different humors at the same time. Predominantly, the Sakya Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa, and Madhurya Rasa Vrindavan are the main. Then little disturbances are coming through these demons in the chivalrous Rasa. They're trying to do something horrible. And so Krishna, in his Vishnu aspect, to maintain the order in the universe, he kills off these demons in such a way as not to disturb the loving flow of his friends and his parents. And everybody thought that he was the Supreme Lord. They might be a little bit afraid of him. When one cowherd boy who was returning from the material world where he had spent some time like a conditioned soul, he was returning back to the spiritual world when he got to Vaikuntha after crossing the 14 planetary systems, Shiva Loka, Devi Dama, Mahesha Dama, going through the Brahma Jyoti, he reached the Vishnu Lok, the Vaikuntha Dham. So there, he wasn't feeling happy. When he saw Narayana, because his Siddha Sarup was a cowherd boy, immediately his spontaneous devotional instinct, his devotional desire was to go and embrace Narayana in love and affection. Because his Sarup being a Sakya Rasa with Krishna, whenever he saw something by name Krishna, he just wanted to go and embrace it. But then, in Vaikuntha, everyone knows that Narayana is the Supreme Lord. They know He's all majesty, all power, all fame, all everything. So, there everyone is offering the Vedic mantras, ooh, ah, ooh, great awe, reverence, palm, complete respect. So here, this devotee is coming and he wants to go and embrace Narayana. Everyone, what are you doing? Get back! Stop! Who is this guy? You know, push them back. Where is he coming from, you know? Of course, Narayana could understand his desire to serve him. But Vishwakshena and the others, what's going wrong with this person? He doesn't know this is Narayana. You don't go up like that. What's he trying to do? They didn't know what... You don't even get near him, you know? They didn't know what he was up to. He's coming, you know. So, the Narayana in the back, he took him back and he said, come to see me with my gardens. So in the back he had private gardens, somewhere in some private gardens in his, in Vaikuntha they have public and private gardens. So he had some private garden. They have everything, all facility. And Narayana transformed himself like a cowherd boy, like Gopal, to play with this. But because all around it's Vaikuntha, you know, everywhere big palaces and four-handed, they were, you know, Vaikuntha Vashis, Vishnu Janas. Although Narayana could create this kind of a situation, but that the cowherd boy knew that it's Narayana. Narayana took the form of a cowherd boy. It's like Yogamaya didn't, in that atmosphere, didn't do the full setup, like in Golok Vrindavan. So, it wasn't the same, that rasa, that flavor wasn't there. Once he could realize this was Narayana and he's just trying, playing like a boy with me, but that flow of friendly affection was always a little bit, you know, just didn't come out properly. Because he kept thinking, this is Narayana, this is Narayana, this is Narayana, this is the Supreme Lord. So, it didn't work out. It wasn't the right situation. So then, eventually, that soul, he had to go back to Golok Vrindavan. It was the only place. To get to Golok Vrindavan, he had to come here to this world to stola bhumi gokula and engage in the service of the Lord in his Krishna avatar, and from here he could transfer back to Golok. From Vaikuntha, he can't go to Golok. There's no road to get from Vaikuntha. If you stop off in Vaikuntha, from Vaikuntha you don't have the right attitude to go to Golok. You'll carry over. You know, I know who Krishna is. I know who this cowherd boy is. He's the Supreme Lord. He's the origin of Narayana. You'll mess up the whole thing. So you come back down here to Gokula, engage in Krishna's pastimes and get totally integrated. And then you go from here back to Golok Vrindavan and you don't know that Krishna is God in Golok Vrindavan. You just know He's your friend or your son or your lover, your fiancé, and you love Him. And you serve with Him and you play. There's no demons there. How the demons would get by Jai Vijay? Even the four Kumaras couldn't get by. What to speak of a demon? Four Kumaras had to get by only with Narayana's intervention, of course. They are being a little overzealous. But demons can't get by the seven gates of Vaikuntha. What to speak of, get all the way to Golok Vrindavan. So there's just a feeling that maybe some demon will come. Just to make a little bit of bhav, the ras. But here in Gokula, there's real life demons. So, here the pastimes have a certain flavor to them which because of the setting, add something. Although the mellow is not different. In the spiritual world here, some of our previous acharyas, they consider that even Gokula in the material world, because of this realistic setting, had got certain advantages over the spiritual world. Anyway, that's a very high topic, which is beyond my capacity to go into. But whether we're here in the material world serving the Lord in the holy Dham, or whether we're serving in the eternal Dham in the spiritual world, the transcendental service to the Lord is the same. And if we are completely purified, it doesn't matter where we are. Unfortunately, in this material world, purification is of the utmost urgent need. The only reason we're not able to fully appreciate Krishna's pastimes is due to the contamination of this materialistic mind and body. What to speak of now in Kali Yuga, when everything is tamasic and rajasic. Even the two sons of Kuvera, who are born in the Demas, the demigod's family, in a higher planet, where everything is very much in the mode of goodness. Even they got intoxicated and started to do naked bathing with the girls in the holy river, committing offenses to the holy river. Somehow by the mercy of Narad Muni, they got cursed to become trees, but not ordinary trees, trees in the house of Krishna. Here we're in the material world, in this seventh-rate planet, in the age of Kali, when everything is very much degraded. Vedic culture is here only in a very limited fashion in India, and in the rest of the world, practically speaking, it's not there at all. Even the Indians who live outside of India, like in Malaysia, Singapore, very small percentage of them, even the women, continue to wear saris. They're wearing so many different kinds of non-Vedic dresses. And the further you go away from India, the further it goes away from Vedic culture. You don't see any hint of Vedic culture in the rest of the world previous to Srila Prabhupada's going there. So people are trained in so many technological things, trained in the history of the world, but very much from a point of view that we are the body, and bodily satisfaction is ultimately what life is about. Although this contradicts very clear instructions given in holy scriptures like Bible and Quran, where corporal pleasure is warned against and regulated in different ways, but somehow modern progress has brought people to the conclusion that life is simply a combination of chemicals coming from a very old soup some billions of years ago. And Srila Prabhupada said that people are going to get fed up with this science. He said in 50 years, that's only about 40 left. People are going to get tired. Science, 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 science. Doesn't make people happy. It's a fad, but it's a dead-end fad. Dead either by blowing yourself up with nuclear weapon, or just dead-end because the ultimate conclusion is not correct. We are not simply matter. We're spirit. Bhagavad Gita very clearly explains, Srimad Bhagavatam clearly explains, we are a combination of material energy and spiritual energy. And we are actually the spiritual energy. This material energy is just a mechanism which is providing us mobility and ability to satisfy our material desires. The same mechanism can be used in devotional service. And if we use the mechanism of this body and mind in devotional service, then our life is a success. Then we can integrate in Lord Krishna's pastimes, in His holy Dham. We can engage in service which is pleasing to Him with this material machine and be transferred to Lord Krishna's eternal pastime without difficulties. So, how will we be interested in being transferred, or how will we be interested in returning back to Krishna's pastimes if we don't know anything about Krishna? Since Krishna consciousness is not meant just to create pious people who will go on in ignorance living in a bodily platform. The Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma is a kind of revolution in the lives of sinful people, as Lord Narada Muni explained to Vyasadeva. These books are meant to create a revolution in their consciousness, to return people to the attitude of service to the Lord, which is the real function of the living entity. This is not our function to simply go on trying to provide favorable stimuli to this machine. Of course, because we are so much integrated with this machine, we identify with it so strongly, its pleasures and its pains are directly considered to be our pain and pleasure. And it requires significant progress and self-realization to be able to get over this illusion. So therefore, sadhana or practice of devotional service is recommended where we regulate our sensual activities and we perform maximum devotional activities. This may appear somewhat mechanical in the beginning. Nothing can be done about it. Until we develop some kind of, purification, we have to get purified. Until we develop some natural attraction for Krishna, it's not really developing. It uncovering is the real sense that we have within us, natural love for Krishna. Krishna prema nitya siddha sadhu kabu noi. Krishna prema is our eternal perfection. Sadhu kabu noi. It's not something we have to achieve. We have to obtain what it is. It's already there. We have to uncover it. We have to simply awaken it. It's in sleeping. It's covered up, piled under the garbage of all the material things we've been doing. So how can we get pure? How we can get love of Krishna if we don't get purified? How can we get purified if we don't do devotional service? Whether we like it or we don't like it, whether we have a taste or we don't have a taste, if we're doing it out of duty for our purification or because we're doing it because we spontaneously like it, we have to do devotional service to get ourselves purified. And the more that one is pure, the more they like devotional service. Prabhupada gave a simple example of a jaundiced man. You take sugar, tastes bitter when you're sick. When you're cured, it tastes very sweet because sugar is sweet. So this loving relationships between Krishna and Yasoda, between Krishna and his devotees, simultaneously Krishna is pleasing his devotees. He's delivering fallen devas, delivering inimical demons, delivering so many different people at the same time while he's pleasing his devotees. This would be impossible, as very clearly said, for anyone else. How they can do it? But for Krishna, everything, the impossible is possible. Therefore, we need to purify ourselves so we do devotional service. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, here in Mayapur, he was instructing us that actually the reason he was doing devotional service, or he was chanting, or he was doing any practice of devotional service, reading, whatever it might be, worshipping the deities, was not with the idea that simply by doing that he was being purified, but that his real secret reason for doing it, his open secret, was he was doing it to please his spiritual master, because by pleasing the devotee, by serving the devotee of Krishna, Krishna is more pleased. And the ultimate purpose is that Krishna should be pleased. And when Krishna is pleased, we naturally get purified. When Krishna is pleased, that's the real objective, is to please Krishna. Purification is simply the evidence that we are doing activities which are pleasing to Krishna. And therefore Krishna is purifying us and allowing us to return back to His eternal service. This devotional service, therefore, is also the mercy of Krishna. Since Krishna is so inconceivable, then how can anyone understand Krishna? Since Krishna is covered by his different illusory energies, how can he be understood? He is only understandable by revealing himself. So Krishna didn't reveal himself even to his mother and father for other reasons, because he didn't want to disturb them in their loving service to him. He didn't reveal himself. Once Krishna left Vrindavan, he didn't hide it also, but he didn't go out of his way to exhibit to these demons who he actually was. Even the Visharupa he showed to Arjuna, although another universal form he showed in the court of the Kurus when they tried to arrest him, when he went as in the diplomatic immunity. Duryodhana thought, I got Krishna alone, no army, no Pandavas to protect him, I can just kill him now and finish off. So foolish he was. Even he showed the Visharupa and left, they couldn't capture him. Still Duryodhana could not understand Krishna's actual position. So therefore we can understand that understanding Krishna is also Krishna's mercy. Gyanam cha, apohanam cha. Smriti gyanam apohanam cha. Ordinary remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness is by Krishna. So the ability to know Krishna, to remember Krishna, not to forget Krishna, or to forget Krishna, that is also given by Lord Krishna. So without the mercy of Krishna, how is it possible to go back to Krishna? So in this age of Kali, when we have so many offensive defects in our character, how is it possible that Krishna would be inclined to give us His mercy by any logical reason? There's no need for Him to do it. We are so fallen. But He completely contradicts all logic. And by taking the merciful mood of Radharani, coming as the golden avatar Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that which would be very difficult to achieve, the devotional service of the Lord, He makes it very easy. And by serving Lord Chaitanya's devotees, it becomes even more easy. By their blessings, one can very easily get devotional service. There's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that says that if you remember Lord Chaitanya, that the very difficult, something very difficult to do, become very easy. And then you forget Lord Chaitanya, something very easy becomes very difficult. Therefore, while we're here in Lord Chaitanya's holy dham, trying to serve His pure devotee, His divine grace from Vishnupad, Paramhansa Prabhu Jagacharya Jasatera Satasri Srimad, Abhoy Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. If we are able to, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, remember Lord Chaitanya, then whatever difficult things there may be, difficulty in cooperating, difficulty in serving, difficulty in controlling the senses, or difficulty in building the biggest temple and spiritual city in the world, sublime city, or whatever the difficulties which are very difficult to do, they can be easily done if we can always remember Lord Chaitanya. And even the simplest things, even petty things, which there should be no difficulty, if we forget Lord Chaitanya, they'll become very difficult. It's the nature of Kali Yuga. Everything is difficult. Forest fires start from bamboos hitting each other. Little spark. So therefore, we can understand to remember Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, serving His devotees, and never forget the Lord Chaitanya. We can also remember that Krishna is always God. We shouldn't have any confusion that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that by engaging fully in His devotional service, we can achieve all perfection and success in life. But that itself is actually the highest perfection. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any questions? Domandes? Preguntas? Prasnas?
You mentioned that by modern science we now know our limits. Our limits have become very defined.
I was being a little facetious that since modern empirical science is always measuring everything, so therefore they are trying to get it down to the measurement, measuring the star, the light, and trying to figure out. Actually, they're getting more bewildered. The more they're studying, the more they find that there's something more they don't know about. But those that are really intellectual, high scientists, they're realizing that, like Einstein, the more he discovered, he found out, there must be some intelligence behind this whole thing.
so well ordered. It's so systematic. It couldn't have happened by accident. But what trickles down to the mass of people, science, they're given a very defined kind of limited vision of their existence. Life is just this life. You're now, this is who you are. You're an American or a German, or and this is how you're supposed to suit and tie, and this is everything, and it's all drive to work, and everything is supported by scientific evidence that everything comes from matter. So like this, they have a very defined idea of themselves, which is actually all not even reality. It's self illusory. But when science gets more and more information, then it seems that, well, now we really have it focused. So I was being a little bit sarcastic, but that people think they have a very clear idea who they are materially. We know more materially. So then Prabhupada's, I believe it was his Vyas Puja, he was mentioning his offering to Bhaktisiddhanta in Bombay, Gaudiya Math, how Kali Yuga is described as the most, what was the exact wording, I can't remember now, but like degraded or the worst of all the degenerate of all the yugas, something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing my own words. They said then Srila Prabhupada explained that obviously it's not talking about science, about scientific development, because according to modern, we have better health, or we have longer life, more facility. It seems that people should be materially better off than they were before, at least in terms of sense gratification, at least in terms of some modern facilities and ease of life. But then what is it talking about? And Prabhupada elaborated that is obviously it's regarding our spiritual development. That spiritually, this is the most difficult and degraded age. So although materially we're getting everything ready, measured, people are getting more and more information. What they'll do with all that information, they themselves don't know. But there's so much information, measuring whether it's correct or not, that's another thing. Further information always cancels out the previous. But at this point, we have more information available to the common man. But in spite of what it's done is simply limited the person. But this is where I am. Doesn't actually reveal to them the real truth or the reality of their existence. Which is then what I said, that we're a combination of matter and spirit. We're not actually spirit, but we're living in this material world, so that way we're combined. Not really combined, you can just say we're there. Entangled. It doesn't actually mix. Water and oil, they don't actually mix, but they're just in a contiguous place and we are entangled. Hope that's alright. Any other question? Srila Prabhupada ki? Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Srimayapur Chandodaya Mandir ki? Go Premanandi.